You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 12th of June 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Yes, we've reached Friday once again. The weekend is coming up ahead, and also we have with us today the one and only Grandpa Lampshade. Grandpa, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you doing?
Doing all right, I suppose. A little bit blackpilling this week, but being the eternal optimistic pessimist, I've continued to try to look for silver lining. Saw on the narrative this morning that they're actually starting to talk about doing away with these no-knock raids that the police are doing. Of course, the reason they're doing it is they no-knock raided some black woman's house here a while back and gunned her down. Two white people were gunned down in Houston, one of these raids. I guess it was last year. That was apparently no big deal, but they gunned down a black woman doing one of these no-knock raids. So now they're actually talking about getting rid of these. And that is a good thing. I mean, really, the fact that apparently it didn't matter when the white people were gunned down is set that point aside. But yeah, that's a step in the right direction, because I'm totally against those things. And I think there's a little silver lining for you there.
Yeah, police brutality only seems to matter now if it's against black folks. It's just totally ignored if it's against white folks. And also something else, it is completely ignored the amount of black killing there is against black folks. And we're going to be looking at that today, particularly Chicago, but also we're going to be looking around the world and asking ourselves whether there is a connection between these cities that have such high murder rates. Over Memorial Day weekend, 18 people were fatally shot on May the 31st in Chicago, making it the most violent 24-hour period the city has experienced over the last 60 years. Experts said they needed to get experts to confirm that. I mean, that is a shocking number of people to be killed in one day. And you would expect people that are talking about Black Lives Matter to be talking about this, the fact that 18 people were shot just in one city. Every one of the victims looks black when you look at the pictures, and I would make a guess that every one of the people doing the shooting was black. And they have marches, and they say, somebody must do something, and yet it goes up and up and up. It keeps going up every year. We get more people killed by them. This was, in actual fact, the most people killed in one day in Chicago since the lab started keeping track of the data. And also, it happened during the looting and rioting on the George Floyd protests. Previously, the record was August the 4th, 1991, when 13 people were killed in Chicago, the University of Chicago Crime Lab said. We've never seen anything like it at all, Max Kapustin, Crime Lab's senior research director, told the Chicago Sun-Times of the number of fatal shootings on May the 31st. Kapustin added that I don't know how to put it into context. It's beyond anything that we have ever seen before. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot said that 65,000 calls were made to the city's 911 line for all services, not just shootings. On a typical day in Chicago, only 15,000 are received by the city's 911 operators. Overall, that weekend, from May the 29th at 7 p.m. through to May the 31st at 11 p.m, 25 people were killed, while 85 people suffered shooting wounds, according to city data tabulated by the Chicago Sun-Times. Comparatively, in 2019, there were 492 murders and 3 fatal police-involved shootings in Chicago. What on earth could it be? What could it be that is causing such extreme ultra-violence in this city? I just don't know. Can you work it out, Grandpa?
No, it's a complete mystery. I'm thinking inanimate objects such as guns are to blame. But what I don't understand is exactly what the complaint here is, because we're hearing these cries now nationwide that the answer to all of this is to abolish the police. I mean, how do you complain about, you know, the police aren't doing anything, 911 calls and things. But if you abolish the police, then you really don't need 911. So we're having these nationwide calls to abolish the police. And apparently in Chicago, they've essentially abolished the police, and this is what they're getting. And now they're complaining about that. I mean, it seems like kind of trying to, you know, have your cake and eat it too. I mean, you get the same thing happened when they were doing the riots in like Ferguson and, in St. Louis here a year or two back. And I don't know, it all runs together because this is now just like a never ending drama. And, you know, same thing. The police just said, OK, fine. You don't want us here. So, we'll just quit patrolling your neighborhoods. And then there are the same people are on TV that have been demanding something be done about the police. And they're on TV like it's a war zone out here. Where are the police at? I mean, why is it a war zone? You know, I mean, are these evil white supremacists driving around in pickup trucks with their Confederate flags going yeehaw and gunning these people down on the street? Well, I don't think anybody's claiming that's happened yet. I don't know. I may be giving them ideas. That may be the narrative tomorrow that this is all being done by white supremacists or something. But I'm assuming, as you apparently are, that this is being done by other dignified people of colors here. So, yeah, you know, I abolish the police. This is what you get. I mean, we did our story last week about the guy that's advocating having essentially armed gangs of blacks patrol black neighborhoods and take care of all that policing. But apparently they already have that. They have their roving black gangs, armed black gangs to enforce law and order. And this is the end result.
Well, I did hear that, I think it may have been the head of the FBI was saying that the greatest threat was white supremacists. So we also had Neil Basu, the highest ranking non-white police officer in Britain. And again, he was complaining about racism and institutional racism and the biggest threat is the white supremacists. But when we look at Chicago, let's have a look at the demographics there. This is from Wikipedia. While most of Chicago and its surrounding residential areas are generally regarded as being somewhat racially segregated, the city's unique culture arises from its being a melting pot, with nearly even percentages of European Americans, African Americans, and Latinos, as well as sizable populations of Asians. So this is being put about as it's being a unique culture of 492 murders in 1 year and 25 people killed in 1 weekend. The white, black, and Hispanic communities extend radially outwards from the center of the city. The racial makeup of the city in 2010 was 45.3% white. Well, hang on a minute. I thought they just said it was a third and a third. But that's 31.7% non-Hispanic white, because what they're doing here is they are including Latinos in as being white. They're saying that mestizos are white here, which of course is going to alter the crime statistics, isn't it? It's going to make white people appear as if they are committing more crimes than they actually are. So what we've actually got here, we've got roughly 32% actual white, 32% black, 5% Asian, 3% from two or more races, and about 15% mestizo. The ethnic makeup of the population is 28% Hispanic and 72% belong to non-Hispanic background. So in actual fact, yeah, it's not even 17%, it's 28% Hispanic. So it's roughly 30% Hispanic, 30% white, 30% black, and the rest is made up of Chinese and just races that we're not entirely sure about. And that is obviously a recipe for chaos, for absolute chaos. And we can confirm that this doesn't just happen in Chicago by looking at the top 50 murder hotspots in the world. If you go to Wikipedia, look at the list of cities by murder rate, you will see that every single one of those top 50 murder hotspot cities are majority non-white. In actual fact, all the countries there are non-white apart from America, and America's representations there, it doesn't actually have Chicago in there, but the American cities there that are in the top 50 murder hotspots are St. Louis, Baltimore, San Juan, and Detroit. And every other city on there is from a non-white country. The most murderous city in the world per capita is Tijuana, Mexico. The most murderous city in the world by death toll is Cape Town, South Africa. And the most murderous city in South America is Caracas, Venezuela. Now, you don't have to be a genius to work out that there is a connection between every one of these cities. They are majority non-white. And I'm sad to say that is just the fact of the matter. Non-whites are more likely to carry out violence. They're more likely to murder one another. That is the reason why these cities have such high murder rates. And just to bring it back to something that's going on in Britain at the moment, David Lammy the other day, he sent out a tweet to Boris Johnson, asking Boris Johnson to answer why black people are four times as many black people are in prison than their percentage of the population, and why black people are more likely to get extra time on their sentence than whites. And he answered this in his own David Lammy report. The reason why four times as many of them are in prison is because four times as many of them commit crimes. The reason why they get extra time is because even though they know they're guilty, even though there's loads of evidence against them, they still plead non-guilty. So all these people that talk about this and wring their hands about this and say, we've got to do something about this, they totally ignore all the statistics which tell them that blacks are more likely to commit crimes. That is why they are more likely to be arrested. That is why all these cities that are in this top 50 cities are for murder rates. That's why they are all black and non-white. And you are not going to be able to stop it. The only way that you can cope with that really is to segregate these people from the other peoples. And as I say, it's not just blacks, it's non-whites as well. And it's not like we're saying all races are far more violent than whites, because the Chinese and the Japanese, they are less violent than whites. They're less likely to actually go to prison. They're less likely to be arrested. But if we go along with this Black Lives Matter narrative and you just remove the police, you're just going to increase the crime. The only way to deal with it is to segregate from these people. Grandpa, what do you make of these top 50 murder hotspots in the world?
Well, I think it's hilarious that they used the term melting pot to describe Chicago, because it doesn't sound like the diversity is being anybody's strength, no matter what the race is. The melting pots, it's just like pointing out a giant melting pot failure, and to even notice a common denominator here in and of itself is racist. So the thing is, like, for a lot of these people, and I don't mean blacks, because blacks aren't under this illusion that they're the same as white people. They have a separate identity and they're proud of that identity. Well, good on them. So when I say these people, I'm referring to basically communist leftists that just push this. They really believe this lie that all the races are the same. You know, you have to step aside from the contradictions, because the contradictions exist because it's like a religion for them. They follow this religion and they believe it. So facts don't matter. They're not going to listen to facts. You sit there and throw out FBI crime statistics all day long. It doesn't matter, because it's like a religion to them. And this religion of equality. Now, if I say equality, I've pointed this out before, but, you know, you say equality to you or I, you know, we think of things like, you know, being treated equally under the law and people being, you know, given a fair chance to, you know, have an equal opportunity. But that's not what these people mean by equality. Equality means everybody is the same. At the same time, they talk out of the other side of their mouth about diversity being our strength. But if everybody's the same except for the color of the skin, then how is this actual diversity? You run into this contradiction with these people because, like I said, it is a religion for them. So when they see things like, well, more blacks are incarcerated for violent crime, they can't accept that because it runs counter to their religious tier held belief that everybody's the same. So since that contradiction is there, they have to put forth this notion that the police and the judicial system is simply going out and picking on blacks. That's the only reason. That has to be the answer, because otherwise would be to admit that this notion of sameness is not true. And as I've said, it's a belief they hold on a religious level. You have to understand, because it is a religion for them. That's the way they believe it. Like you and I believe in God and Jesus. They believe in this notion of sameness on that kind of level. So simply putting out facts and statistics and pointing these things out is not going to have an effect on them, because they're going to justify and twist and do whatever they have to do to defend that position, because it is a religiously held position. So yes, it's not surprising that the answer has to be, you know, contrary to all of the facts that are in your face, the answer has to be that the judicial system and the police and everybody else are just conspiring to go around and pick on these poor innocent black people.
Well, if you look at what David Lammy was saying, he's saying that four times as many of them are in prison, three times as many of them are arrested as their percentage of the population. So what is he saying? That two out of every three cases that involve a black man, the evidence has been planted on him. He's actually innocent. The judges have convicted him just because they don't like the color black. Or are they saying that three out of four blacks that are arrested, that they're actually not, they don't fit the witness description, and they're actually completely innocent? Well, obviously not, because they've been found guilty. I mean, the very fact that they push this is insulting to the police and the judges, because it's saying to them that two thirds of all the cases that they're involved in with non-whites, they've just deliberately found them guilty just because they hate the color of their skin for some bizarre reason. I mean, I like wearing black shoes. You know, I've got moles that are like brown color. You know, I've got nothing against colors or colors of the skin. What we're against is certain behaviors that are associated with these people that are borne out by the 50 most murderous cities on the planet. I mean, what is the leftist answer to it? That in Tijuana, Mexico, it's racist police. That's why they've got so many of them in prison for murder. Caracas, Venezuela, it's racist judges. That's why there's so much murder. Well, let's have a look at the reasons that they come out with for the excess murder rate in Chicago. Anti-gun violence advocate Reverend Michael Flieger, who leads Chicago's St. Sabina Church, called the weekend following Floyd's death open season in his Auburn Gresham neighborhood, as well as in others on the south and west sides of the city. As with many other cities across the US, Chicago had been in the midst of George Floyd protests, which sometimes involved violence, vandalism, and looting. On Saturday, and particularly Sunday, I heard people saying all over, "Hey, there's no police anywhere. Police ain't doing nothing," Flieger told the newspaper. Flieger said that at some point he sat and watched a store looted for over an hour without any police responding to the scene. It was the same story when he drove past other places that were getting looted. So according to the anti-gun violence advocate, the reason why they just couldn't help shoot 25 people and loot and rob and all the rest of it is because there weren't any police there. So does this stack up? If we look at white areas, majority white areas where there aren't any police, is there lots of shooting that goes on? No, there isn't. All you have to do is look at the rural areas in white countries, which are still 99.9% white, and they don't have any crime at all. And they don't need to be seeing police on every police corner to stop them from shooting one another and looting and robbing and home invading. They just don't commit crime because they understand that that's not the way to be. That doesn't just harm the person that you commit the crime against. It also harms the society. It also makes the society and the place we live a worse place to live. But these non-whites don't seem to understand that. And this is an anti-gun violence advocate here that is saying it's because there's no police anywhere. And if you listen to Black Lives Matter, they'll tell you that it's because there are police there. They don't want to have any police there. So what is it? Is it that there's no police there, or is it that we need more police there? What do you think, Grandpa?
Well, yeah, it's like I said at the opening of the show, it's hilarious that on the one hand, they're saying they're demanding one of their key demands now that the police be abolished. There's even calls to abolish prisons because that's racist, too. So they're demanding that the police be abolished and then turn around and gripe and complain that the police aren't there. I mean, which is it? Which do you want? I think it's also interesting that he says he uses the term, it's open season. It's open season. If he's going to use a term like that, I think it ought to be pertinent that he should mention who the hunters are, who's doing the shooting. You know, I mean, that would seem to be a relevant thing. Well, of course, we all know the answers. Once again, it's not white people driving around the pickup trucks waving rebel flags going, "Yeehaw, go get another." We all know who it is, but they won't point that out because it runs counter to the narrative. I just again, I understand why it's being done this way. I understand. I'm sure you do too. You know, the way the narrative is being presented, but it's so lame. I mean, no thinking person, no person with half a brain can look at this and not see the contradiction here and how stupid this is. We demand that the police be abolished. Hey, it's a war zone out here. Where are the police at? I mean, which is it? What do you want? You know, these aren't even coherent demands. What do you want? You want everybody released from the prisons? You want the police abolished? Or you're going to complain because your neighborhood's being burned down, stores are being looted, and there's no police there. Which do you want? Of course, this is not something you can even look at with a logical man because it's not logical. It's not – nobody's thinking this through. This is nothing more than emotional manipulation. You know, they're emotionally manipulating the mob to a greater agenda.
That's totally contradictory, isn't it? Well, Max Kapustin, that's the Crime Lab Senior Research Director, noted that it's not uncommon for police departments to have to divert resources to manning demonstrations during times of massive upheavals or protests. When the CPD has to turn its attention elsewhere and there's suddenly this vacuum that opens up, you also unfortunately see a picture like you saw with last weekend, where you see an absurd amount of carnage, people getting injured and killed, Kapustin said. So Max Kapustin, he agrees as well. He's saying here that because the police had to divert their resources to going to look after a demonstration in other parts of town, lots of people got killed, basically. And this is the Crime Lab Senior Research Director. This isn't the anti-gun advocate, the black reverend. This is a scientist, a scientific person that is actually pointing this out. You would think that he would then, you know, question the fact that, well, what about in white areas where there's no police around? They don't go on the rampage. You know, you don't see an absurd amount of carnage, people getting injured and killed, if the police are off dealing with a protest in a white area. You only see this in these majority black cities. You only see this in places like Chicago. Flieger, that's the other one, he said that issues like joblessness, food insecurity, and a lack of housing in minority communities exacerbated during the coronavirus pandemic, plus Floyd's death at the hands of Minnesota police, brought out hopelessness and anger among those living in blighted neighborhoods. It's like a time bomb out here, Flieger said. People are on the edge. People are angry. People are poor, and they don't even know when it's going to change. Why are their neighborhoods blighted? Could it be because they burn them down and they loot and they go on the rampage and they just create carnage? Do they really think that any sensible business is going to want to open a business in the neighborhoods that they just burned down in these riots, that the same riots that they had in Ferguson and in Baltimore, and they complain that these businesses are all racist because they don't want to open shops and companies and corporations and factories in these black areas. But if they do, then they're just going to get burned down. It's like a vicious circle, isn't it? He complains here that they're living in blighted neighborhoods, but why are they blighted neighborhoods in the first place? Because that's what they've done to them. Because that is, unfortunately, that is just what they do. And we only have to look at their behavior in Africa and in all those other countries in the top 50 murder cities of the world to see exactly the same behavior going on. And it's not really their neighborhoods that are being blighted by this. It's our neighborhoods. It's our countries that are being blighted by diversity. And none of the people that are in power, none of our representatives are pointing this out. They just expect everybody to go along with this illogical narrative that it's all because of racist white people that they're burning these buildings down. I mean, you can look back into reports on Africa in the 1800s and they'll talk about them burning the villages down. And every so often, they would just go out and burn the next door neighbor's village down, or they would burn their own village down. And a lot of the time, the writers were, you know, they couldn't work out why it was they were actually doing this, because they were actually destroying their own neighborhood. We saw the same in Croydon a couple of years back. They burned down their own neighborhood. It's completely illogical. And then they'll come protesting and screaming, the white man's got to do something. It's all been caused by racism. It's all been caused by the white man. But you can't say that it's being caused by the white man in Africa. Africa. Can't say it's been caused by the white man in Haiti. And you really can't say it's been caused by the white man in Chicago. Although, obviously, the death of George Floyd, that does look like it was carried out by a white police officer. But the other two police officers he had with him weren't white, and his wife wasn't white. So, obviously, that wasn't racism. That was just bad police practice. Grandpa, what do you make of these reasons or excuses that are given for shooting 25 people over the weekend?
The same reason Somalia isn't a utopia, you know, shining beacon of light for the rest of the planet to follow. It must be because of the racism. I mean, the common denominator here is obvious. But once again, we're not supposed to notice it. It's racist to point it out, apparently, because, again, it runs counter to the religious held narrative that of sameness. The only difference is the color of the skin, which, of course, is absurd on its face. But you're never going to convince these people, even these so-called experts. These are supposed to be like scientific experts. They're supposed to put, you know, data and facts above emotion and feels. They're supposed to put data and facts, and whatever the data is, by golly, we're going to follow where the data goes because we are experts. We are scientists. But yet you see them just dance around this and pretend like it's a mystery thing that just can't be explained. It must be, like I say, it must be because of the guns, or it's because of joblessness and a feel of, you know, insecurity and shitty housing, you know, because white people don't have those. No, heaven forbid, white people don't have those issues. No way. Yeah, this is, so they dance around it. And this is why experts are, you know, when they parade experts forward, it's just like more and more of us just dismiss that offhand because, again, they're not experts. They're not scientists. If they were scientists, they would say, well, the obvious cause here, we found the common denominator. The layman on the street can look at it and go, well, I looks like a pretty obvious answer to me. But some supposedly man dedicated to science type of expert just can't quite put his finger on it. But they know, but they won't acknowledge it because, again, the narrative demands, the religious narrative demands that we all go along with this notion of sameness. Everybody's exactly the same. Only difference is some people have different pigment of the skin. It's observably not true, but you're demanded to go along with the lie, like everything else in this society. Everything is based on the lie, and you either go along with the lie or you get crushed, you get repercussions. You must submit to the lie. That is the demand of modern clown world.
And of course, you must never recognize a pattern. That's what's absolutely taboo, isn't it? Is recognizing the obvious pattern in this. And you brought up there, Grandpa, well, what about white people that have to put up with this? Because the excuse they put is joblessness, food insecurity, and a lack of housing. Well, what about white joblessness? What about all the foreigners that have been brought in to supposedly increase the economy and all the businesses and the jobs that they have taken? I mean, we're told that they take up something like 80% of new jobs are taken up by non-whites. Of course, they say that they created those jobs, but in actual fact, if they weren't here, then white people would have those jobs. So we have joblessness that's being created by immigration. And again, the lack of housing. What about white people that go to the bottom of the housing list? We got loads of people over here in Britain that are desperate for housing. And yet we see that non-white people that are born overboard, born abroad, and they're being given housing ahead of white folks. And yet we don't go out shooting everyone and rioting and looting and trying to blame racist police for the reason. And then when people are listening because of the rioting, we don't then start demanding, get rid of the police, give us more money, give us more housing. I mean, this lack of housing thing, they're trying to bring that up as the reason why more blacks are getting coronavirus. It's quite obvious why more blacks are getting coronavirus. It's exactly the same reason why twice as many of them have been given fines for breaking the lockdown. It's the same reason as why they're out protesting, 15,000 of them protesting in Britain last weekend. That's the reason why more of them are getting coronavirus. They are far more slack about observing the social distancing that other people are obviously observing, but black people don't seem to be bothering to observe it. And we're being told again that it's racism that's causing them to get coronavirus, not their lack of social distancing. It's racism that's responsible for them getting these fines for breaking the lockdown restrictions, not the fact that they are actually breaking lockdown restrictions. And we can see it on the news every night when we watch them protesting. But to bring us back to what's happening in Chicago, the Chicago Police Department said in a statement obtained by the newspaper that the level of activity experienced over the last week has been unprecedented, and the department is actively investigating multiple incidents across the city and are working to determine the motives in these cases. Eventually, there is just going to be so much murder and mayhem that is going on that they're not going to be able to afford to investigate all of this. They're going to have to disband the police anyway, because there just aren't going to be enough resources to actually fund the investigations into the multiple incidents. This is what's going to happen. I mean, if you look at the increase in numbers of blacks and non-whites, the way that they are reproducing across the world, and the way that whites are becoming more and more of a minority, how on earth are we going to be able to afford to pay for all of this? If you look at Africa, some of the countries there, 60% of the people living in the countries are under the age of 30, and they've got an average IQ of between 70 and 85. They've got no work over there. The only industry they've got is selling secondhand T-shirts that have been sent them for free by charities in the West, and it's all being kept together. They're all being kept alive by the charitable notions of white people. White people are working to pay for all of this, and eventually we're going to reach a tipping point, and you're just not going to be able to investigate all these crimes. Already over here in Britain, they've said that they're not going to investigate shoplifting unless it's over £50. They're not going to investigate burglaries unless you've got CCTV. They're not going to investigate pedophiles in some cases, just because they can't cope with all the crime. And it's just going to go up and up and up and up and up with the more of a percentage of blacks and non-whites that we have, the more crime we're going to see, and the less the police are going to be able to deal with it. And the more the ones that are actually dealt with and get sent to prison, they're going to be told, oh, well, they were innocent in the first place. It was just racist police. That's why there's four times as many of them in the prison. What do you make of the police department's pledge to work out what the motives are in these cases and investigate these multiple incidents, Grandpa?
Well, they're not. I mean, they're not, yeah. They're just simply not going to do that. They'll do what the police generally do. They're going to fill out a report. It'll go in a file, and that'll be it. I mean, if somebody comes forward and snitches on somebody and says, yeah, Tyrone over there did that, then they might go in and look at it, but they're not going to investigate. They know. I mean, they already know who it is. At the same time, they're being accused of, doing all this racism and locking these innocent people up. So there's really like zero motivation for them to do that. And they're generally lazy anyway. Imagine for a minute that these were bands of white people going around and actually doing that. I mean, I made a joke of that illustration about, white people going around in pickups, shooting blacks in Chicago. But what if that was actually happening? Can you imagine the response? Forget investigation. They would have every federal agency on it. They would be rounding these people up. They would be, using RICO statutes to crack down on these evil white gangs that are going around hunting these people on the streets. But they're not going to do that. They already know who it is. They already know the answer. So they're simply going to give it lip service, say they're doing something when they're not. They're going to fill out their reports, throw it in a file, and that'll be the end of that. They're not going to investigate it. They're not going to investigate. What's the motivation to investigate it? They're going to, arrest more blacks and put them in jail and be, once again accused of that being racist. Again, it comes back to your get what you want. You want to abolish the police. Well, congratulations. In Chicago, essentially, they got just what they wanted. And this is the end result.
Eventually, they'll just be given out a crime number. Somebody will be murdered, or somebody will be stabbed or acid attacked, and they'll just be given a crime number. Like you are now, if your push bike is stolen or your car stereo is stolen out from your car. That's the way this is going. There's only one way to put a stop to it, and that is to separate from these people. Stop the hate and separate. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.